From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Full moon open lines this hour. And next hour, Matthew Alper joins us, the God part of the brain. Should be a fascinating program. Well, I have escaped the ice and the cold, the bitter cold in St. Louis. I'm back in Los Angeles. I feel bad doing that. I left behind my friends and family to come to 70-degree sunny weather. Oh, well, it's a tough job. Somebody's got to do it. Here's a big story out of NASA. NASA has announced that it will establish an international base camp on one of the moon's poles, permanently staffing it by 2024, 4 years after astronauts, they say, will return to the moon. It is a sweeping departure from the Apollo moon missions of the 1960s and represents a new phase of space exploration after space shuttles are retired in 2010. Now, after consulting more than 1,000 experts from 14 different countries, NASA decided on what they call the fundamental lunar approach, which is sharply different from its previous moon missions in nearly everything but the shape of the ship going there. NASA chose a lunar outpost over the short expeditions of the 60s. Apollo flights were all around the center of the moon, but NASA decided to go to the moon's poles because they say, are best for longer-term settlements. And this time, NASA is welcoming other nations on its journey. There's a scare going on Long Island. At least 14 people in two counties there have been affected by the recent E. coli outbreak that was first reported in central New Jersey. Officials say 3 people in Nassau County and 11 people in Suffolk County are being treated for the outbreak. There is no confirmation yet as to whether the outbreak is in New Jersey and the one in New York are all related. 8 Taco Bell restaurants on Long Island have temporarily shut down as part of the investigation, 4 from each county. The restaurants closed voluntarily after their respective counties asked them to do so. Health officials are looking into whether it was vegetable or a beef product that could be the source of this bacteria. Inappropriate advertising contributes to many kids' ills, from obesity to anorexia to drinking booze and having sex too soon, and Congress should crack down on it, according to the American Academy of Pediatrics. The influential doctors group issued a new policy statement in response to what it calls a rising tide of advertising aimed at children. The policy appears in December's Pediatrics, which is published today. In Beverly Hills, California, police believe that Fox Television's Prison Break actor Lane Garrison may have been drunk when he crashed his SUV into a tree over the weekend, killing a 17-year-old boy. One was his passenger. Garrison is 26 years old. 3 members of a San Francisco family missing for more than a week were found alive Monday along a snowy, treacherous roadway in southern Oregon. A search continues for the father. The investigators said a helicopter spotted the 30-year-old mother waving an umbrella. Her daughters, a 4-year-old and 7 months, were with her. They were airlifted to a hospital. They will be okay. Rescuers continued to look for the husband, 35-year-old James Kim. He left on foot 2 days ago to help seek help from police. They followed his footprints into the snow. It became too dark. They planned to use helicopters with thermal imaging technology on Tuesday. Hopefully they will find him alive. The family missed a turnoff and tried to make an alternative route, and they got stuck. It's amazing that they were just missing for so long in this country of 300 million people. Some places out there in the hinterlands, man, nobody goes. The FBI appears to have begun using a novel form of electronic surveillance in criminal investigations. This is what they can do now: remotely activating a mobile phone's microphone and using it to eavesdrop on nearby conversations. This technique is called the roving bug. It was approved by a top U.S. Department of Justice official for use against members of a New York organized crime family. They were wary of conventional surveillance techniques, such as tailing a suspect or wiretapping. Nextel cell phones owned by 2 of the alleged mobsters were used by the FBI to listen in on nearby conversations. The surveillance technique came to light in an opinion published this week by a U.S. district judge. He ruled that the roving bug was legal because federal wiretapping law is broad enough to permit eavesdropping, even of conversations that take place near a suspect's cell phone. The ACLU is not too happy about the revealing X-ray machines that will be tested at a U.S. airport soon. The new full-body X-ray machine to be tested at the Phoenix Sky Harbor International Airport in Arizona will enable screeners to detect non-metallic devices and objects as well as weapons on a person's body. But the critics, including the American Civil Liberties Union, say the machine can display graphic images of nude bodies, and its use will pave the way, they say, to widespread abuse of the images taken, with some possibly being posted or traded, they believe, on the Internet. President Bush told an Iraqi power broker that the United States was not satisfied with the progress of efforts to stop the sharp escalation of violence in Iraq. The president met at the White House with Abdulaziz Hakim, the Shiite leader of the largest bloc in Iraq's parliament. Hakim said that he vehemently opposes any regional or international effort to solve Iraq's problems that goes around the unity government in Baghdad. The president said he spoke with Hakim for more than an hour and that they had a very constructive conversation. Meanwhile, four Marines died in a helicopter crash today in Iraq. The controversial U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton, is to leave his post. Mr. Bolton looked unable to win the necessary Senate support for him to continue in the job, which he had obtained on a temporary basis. Critics have questioned factors, including his abrasive style at the UN. More than 100 Elvises, 100 Elvises have taken part in a sponsored walk on a plane to raise money for charity. The Elvises also broke the world record for the largest number of Elvis impersonators gathered in one place. The 109 Elvis impersonators raised the money by walking up and down the aisle of a Virgin 747 flight in relay teams on the flight to Las Vegas. Before they caught the flight, they treated passengers to the rendition of Suspicious Mind. And a circus ringmaster carried on his performance despite having his thumb bitten off by a crocodile. 39 years old, he was on tour with his Rennes Universal Circus in Le Mans, France, when the accident happened. 4,000 people were in the audience, clapping and cheering. They thought it was part of the act, and he was trying to demonstrate to the audience that crocodiles are not man-eaters. Boy, was he wrong. One snapped him, twisted his jaw, and ripped off his thumb. In the end, he had to hold up his thumbless hand to the applause of the audience, who just thought it was part of the show. We've got open lines for you tonight, this hour, full moon open nights, at West of the Rockies, 800-618-8255, East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time caller line is 818-501-4721, and the wildcard line, 818-501-4109. So I'll be back in a moment with open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, back in Los Angeles, and let's go to the phones. First time caller line, where are you calling from? Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Where are you?
I am in an 18-wheeler. We are on Interstate 5 heading home.
Well, Interstate 5 where?
In California.
Okay. Well, welcome to the show. What's going on?
Thank you. When I was 17, I was in a car accident with two of my other cousins, and I died three times when I was in the hospital.
Oh, my.
And then after I got home, I was in a coma for 38 days when I was in the hospital, and I'd lost all my stomach muscles and stuff. So I'd have to, like, call for my husband to, like, help me up out of bed and stuff.
Sure, yeah.
And I woke up, and my cousin that passed away in the car accident was, like, hovering above me, just smiling. And it was like she was made out, it's like I could see her perfectly, but it was like she was a bunch of little dots.
And did she try to get you to join her or to stay back on good old planet Earth?
She was just smiling at me. And I never really understood what it was that she was like trying to tell me or why she was there.
How do you know you died three times?
Because the doctors told me.
Oh, so your heart stopped?
Yeah. My brain was swelling and it was pushing down on my spine. And they had to remove a piece of my brain the size of a quarter behind my right eye.
Have you found that since this episode, you are a little more intuitive or spiritual, or that something dramatic now has changed in you?
I live each day to the fullest.
That I don't blame you.
I don't know. I don't do a lot of things that I would have done before, where there's like more chances of stuff happening.
And how about your cousin? Does she still visit you?
No, she don't. Not. I just seen her that one time, and when I dream and stuff at night, sometimes she'll be in my dreams and stuff, but it's things that have already happened.
Sounds like she's moved on.
But has that ever happened to anybody where like they look like they're dots?
Yeah, we've gotten some reports on that too. Small dots, little orbs. Not as graphic as what you describe, but we do get reports on that. East of the Rockies, you're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hello, George. This is Mike from the Bronx.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Okay there. Listen, man, I love your show. You go from the sublime to the ridiculous, but it's beautiful. Anyway.
And back again.
Listen, on the net. You remember the old science fiction classic there, Day the Earth Stood Still?
Oh, one of my favorites.
There is a kind of a rough draft of a screenplay on the net. It's Punch Up, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Part 2. And it's a really interesting story.
Now, what do you mean, Part 2? Who's done this one?
No, okay. This was one of those things there. It's a rough draft of a screenplay. It never got put into production. Nothing ever came of it.
Did it include the originals?
Well, okay, I'll tell you this much. Klaatu's daughter comes to Earth. It's the story takes place 30 years.
Okay, now when do you think this was done?
This was done, I think, well, I stumbled on it. I was fooling around on the net. At work, I had some spare time, and I just started punching up stuff, and then I put up, I was looking at The Day the Earth Stood Still, then I saw, something on there about a sequel, so I punched up The Day the Earth Stood Still Part 2, and there it is.
What was the name of the robot?
Oh, Gort was still in there.
You got it.
I think he was still in there.
All right, I got to look that up. Thanks. Let's go to our wild card line. Welcome to Coast. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi George.
Hi.
It's Carrie, and I'm calling from Burbank. I'm right up the street from you.
Yes, you are. Not too far.
Yeah, right near Buena Vista. And Magnolia. So,
don't give your address, though, Terry. You've given us everything but that.
I know. No, don't worry. Right. Okay. I wanted to call you for a long time. Around 1961, I lived in Santa Clara. I shared a bedroom with my sister. I was probably around, 6 years old.
Uh-huh.
Now I've given my age away, but we won't go there. Okay. So, I had a bed against one wall. My sister had a bed against the other wall. And my bed was against the wall of the front of the house. And there was a window above my bed. And one night, my grandmother was sleeping in my bed. And I was in a little cot in between the two beds. Okay, I woke up. And I thought what I saw was, I tell everybody for years and years and years, it looked like a monkey on my bed, its feet on the mattress, its little, hands or whatever on the windowsill. I never saw its face. I just remember it was looking intensely out the window, and it was, moving its head back and forth like it was searching for something, and it terrified me.
A monkey?
And I know. Okay. I look over, and my grandma is not in the bed, and it's like all the sheets are pushed over.
Oh, no, don't tell me Grandma shapeshifted into a monkey.
No.
All right.
So then I am so terrified. So I, like, bring my foot, you know, I look away from there, and I close my eyes, and I go, and it was like the monkey was really in there. I go, you're going to be safe as long as he doesn't know you're awake and that you know he's there. And I closed my eyes, and then I could even hear one of my parents get up and use the bathroom. And I remember thinking, I know I'm awake. I just heard my mom or dad get up.
Uh-huh.
And then I fall asleep, and the very first thing I do when I wake up and there's light in the room, I twist my head over and to look to see if my grandma is in the bed. There she is, sound asleep. Well, for years and decades, I had always told people about this story, but I would always tell people it was like an organ grinder monkey. It had these long arms, long legs, okay? About 2 or 3 years ago, I was listening to Coast to Coast as usual, and I was hearing one of your callers come on and how someone on your show had said something, it had set something off in their mind of a memory of an alien or a gray when they were a little kid.
Sure.
And I'm going to tell you, George, I suddenly went, oh, God, was that what I saw? Because I would always specify to people it was like an organ grinder monkey. It had these long arms and long legs and a head. And that I looked around and that my grandma wasn't in the bed. And, of course, let me tell you, in 1961, I had never heard of aliens or Martians or anything. I was just a little kid. We barely watched television, remember? You know,
do you think your grandmother, do you think she might have been abducted?
Well, I had asked her, well, that's how I feel, but I had asked her, you know, do you ever remember anything happening to you? Did you have any weird memories? And she said, no, she didn't. But I'm going to tell you, it was, and years and years later, just like, well, like 5 years ago, I got a little Jack Russell, and I had a bed in a house I was living in at the time with the same window above the bed, same, you know, the way it was spaced
right.
Above the bed. And, you know, Jack Russells, they're not like normal dogs, and they think they're intense. And my little Jack Russell would always stand there on her hind legs with her little paws up there and be looking everywhere up in the trees on the lawn for something.
Oh, they spot everything, little birds, squirrels, everything.
Exactly. And I used to think, gosh, it's just like that monkey that I had that experience when I was little. And, of course, when I grew up, I thought, well, it couldn't have been a real monkey. I mean, why would that scare me? And then it was like 3 years ago, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I went, oh, my gosh, because I remember what I saw in my head. But you know what I'm saying? The long arms.
Well, let me ask you, did you live near a zoo by any chance?
Absolutely not.
You didn't.
No,
so
Santa Clara, we had orchards everywhere. All the streets dead-ended, there was an orchard, cherry orchard.
I mean, you always have to weigh the possibility of whether somebody had a pet monkey and the thing escaped and somehow got into your house, but I guess not. Thanks for the call. Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, it's James from Worcester, Massachusetts.
Hey, James. Welcome to the program.
You know of us, right, Worcester? Have I heard that you've been here before?
I know Worcester quite well.
I thought so.
My mother was born in Fitchburg, so we'd go through there all the time.
All right. Okay. Cute little story. I meant to tell Art Bell. Been on before. It's my first time with you. Here we go.
Okay.
I borrowed Mom's car one night. Mine was in the shop. Picking up some buddies, we're going out of town. Now, she just used this, like, to and from work, right? The radio had never worked. You know, you throw the tape in, it shreds it. You couldn't even get, like, a station in, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So we pick up Dave, or, you know, pick up the last guy. He throws the tape in. We're like, no, it plays. Hasn't played in years. It plays this tape. It played all night, okay? Never played again after that. Ask me the name of the band.
What's the name of the band?
Fluke. Have a good night.
You got it. Yeah, well, I guess it was a cute story. It was. Okay, I'll be back in a moment. Our Full Moon Monday open lines continue. If you need to email me, let's make it simple, george@coasttocoastam.com. We've got a full slate of programs for you this week, but we'll be back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Don't go away. Well, I went and saw Casino Royale today. I hadn't had an opportunity to see it in St. Louis. Pretty good. Pretty good. I still like Sean Connery. To me, he'll always be James Bond. But Mr. Craig did a pretty good job as well. Hey, pick up the After Dark newsletter. It's a great subscription. And you'll get two free CDs, old-time Art Bell interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin that we pulled out of storage. You will love them. Those are yours. And the After Dark newsletter. Call 1-888-727-5505. That's 1-888-727-5505. Or if you're online, just go to coasttocoastam.com. Ray Bradbury, 1981, was the one who wrote the screenplay for The Day the Earth Stood Still. How about that? I will always marvel at that interview we had with Ray Bradbury about a year ago during his birthday. What a great gentleman. Maybe we should try to get him back on again. Let's go to the phones. We've got open lines for you, a Full Moon Monday open lines, which is a little different from Full Moon Fridays. Back to the phones we go. Wild Card Line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, this is Matt. From Monroe, Michigan. I'm actually driving through Indiana right now.
Still farm country down that way, Matt?
Yeah, a little bit.
It's been a long time since I was down there.
Yeah, that's pretty much all it is out here. Ain't really much to look at, you know.
Flatland, too.
Yeah, it is. Not much rolling. But I was calling to talk to you a little bit about the prescription drug problem that is going on in the country. I think the government needs to, I think they need to take a closer look at these, like Vicodin and Oxycontin and all that type of stuff, because I personally was addicted to it for a long time, and it nearly killed me. And I think they're, you know, I actually have quite a few people I used to consider friends that are now dead from overdosing on this.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, did you ever take it up with your doctor, too, for prescribing it to you over and over again?
I actually got addicted through having back pain. And once that doctor decided that it wasn't really back pain anymore, all I really had to do was go to another doctor.
I see.
And I see that as... Yeah. A lot of people, they know this. They know that they can go into the doctor, and if they say the right things, they can pretty much get what they want. I know that they're doing a lot. They're starting to do some different things, like only letting a doctor prescribe so much per month and this and that, but they don't know where it's going, because I know people who really probably should be taking it, but they get their prescription, and then they sell it off to people, and these people are dying from it.
Well, you know, as we will all agree, some pharmaceuticals have probably performed miracles on people, but a lot of them haven't. And I would always opt for the alternative way first if you can. And then if you can't, well, then you're going to have to go the pharmaceutical route. But like you said, Mike, you got to be careful, Matt, with the kind of drugs you take.
Oh yeah, definitely. Don't get me wrong. I know that there are plenty of things, reasons for the Oxycontin and these different painkiller drugs for people to take. But I think they need to look a little bit closer at who they're actually giving this stuff.
Well,
to.
And like I've always supported, believe it or not, and don't think I'm crazy here, but the medicinal use of marijuana for pain, I think, would do a far better job for people than these pharmaceuticals. And one of the reasons why people aren't being allowed to use them in total is because of the pharmaceutical lobby. I have interviewed so many people in my career who could not take prescription medication, who have used medicinal marijuana, and it has changed their life. They're not in pain anymore. They don't get sick. They don't, vomit because of the pharmaceuticals. It's been for them. It's been a miracle. And I think our government really needs to take a closer look at this and legalizing it. And I'm not just in some of the selective states that have had the guts to do this because they get cracked down by the feds anyway. And we really should take a better look at this because, you know, it can help you. I'm not advocating drugs by any means, but I am advocating the use of this for people who cannot take prescription pharmaceuticals, who are in severe, dire pain. And unless you've been there before, you probably wouldn't understand just how bad it is for them. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi. You talking to me?
I'm talking to you.
Okay, hey. This is Linda, and I'm calling from Buffalo Grove, Illinois.
Yeah.
By the way, I love your show.
Well, thank you.
And I recently discovered it. Actually, I had surgery, and so I was up nights, and so now I'm hooked.
See, it was a miracle.
It was. But I just love the fascinating things that you talk about. And you talked one time about shadow people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I had shadow people, but I don't really know what it means. I never heard the term before.
Well, I am not the founder of shadow people. The founder of shadow people is the founder of the original show, Art Bell. The shadow people found him, and so I picked up on them.
Okay, well,
that's just a little history for you.
Okay, but what are they?
I don't know.
Oh, you don't know anything about it?
Oh, yeah, I know a lot about it, but nobody knows what they are. You know, there are people see weird shapes and shadows. Do you see these things with hats on?
Yes.
Oh.
And okay, first off, it started out as one person, and it was a man. And he would walk, come in my bedroom, walk along like the foot of my bed, and then walk along the side, and he'd lean over like really to see how I was.
And you're wondering, am I dreaming? Am I going nuts? What is this, right?
I really think I was dreaming, but I'd wake up in a panic. And my uncle died actually in 1976, December 1st, 1976. And I always felt it was him coming to check on me. And then I did this, I must have had this 7 or 8 times. This feeling, and I'd wake up in a panic, but yet, okay. And he was in a black suit and like tails and a hat. And then all of a sudden, I realized he had someone with him.
Do they notice you, Linda?
They come over like to look over me. So like I'm laying in bed and they're looking down at me. And a couple of times, like I said, I realized one night there was two of them. And then I really didn't know who that might be. So anyway, since then, since I actually told some people about it, and since then they haven't been back.
Well, here's my theory. One, they exist. Two, you're not dreaming and you're not crazy. And three, I think, and some other people agree, that there's some kind of a time warp or a dimensional warp. They exist on another plane of existence. And somehow it filters over into ours. Sometimes they see us, sometimes they don't. That's why I asked you that. But I think there's something gets out of kilter a little bit, and you have that ability to see them for a moment, and then they're gone again.
Well, because I kind of get scared.
They don't hurt you. I've never heard of a case
where
a shadow person has ever attempted to hurt anybody.
It's a shadow person.
Yeah, these aren't demons now. They're not demons. They're not ghosts. They just seem to be from another plane of existence.
Yeah, and what's with the hats?
That I don't understand.
Okay, but that's a common theme.
They've all got hats.
It's interesting. And like I said, I never see a face either.
No, nobody sees faces with them.
And I don't know why I felt it was my uncle. I guess because I couldn't figure out who else it might be.
Bet you start seeing little shadow rodents pretty soon, because that's what happened to me. Little things, they scurry, and they have funny-looking antennae.
Well, I think I've already seen some of those, but that's when I'm totally awake conscious, and
yeah.
I think I see some.
Oh, I see. I used to see them going across the road while I was driving a car. I won't say that to my police officer friends, though. I'll go into complete denial. All right, thanks. But they won't hurt you. I have never heard of a case where that someone was hurt by a shadow person. If they've been hurt by something else, it's a demon. It's not a shadow person. Let's go back to the phones. We'll go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hey, how you doing?
Great.
My name's Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Good. I'm calling from San Diego right now. I had two quick questions for you.
Sure.
The first one doing with I don't know how to say it, but the fact that 2012, you know, and what year like claimed to be, and the fact that it happens to be a leap year. I didn't know if there's any coincidence there. If you
That's interesting. That. No coincidences, but 2012 is a year we're leading up to. We've been talking about it for years now. A lot of people have their own theories on what could happen, a polar shift. We're going to get hit by an asteroid. The Mayans knew about something. I think it's just going to be a change for all of us. Things will get better, not worse.
Right.
Find out in 6 years.
Cool. My second quick question was, anything about the conspiracy theory that the U.S. lost the Revolutionary War and that we signed a deal with the U.K. that they would run us and we would have our fake mock democracy above that?
No, I've never heard that before.
Okay.
Well, check into that. Now, I would think we won the war, but I would say some elitists from both sides may have begun to cut the deal to form the Illuminati or these globalists, even at that point.
Right. I just didn't know if you'd heard anything about that or where I could find more information.
Yeah, I mean, they may have. You may be right in that we won the war, but we won the war in fact that the British left, okay? But they may also have cut a deal for something grander. That's very possible. If you want more information on that, you might want to just Google search or search some of the topics you just mentioned. I'm sure you're going to find some things. Let's go next to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
George.
Hi. Hello,
George.
Yes.
This is Greg from Pittsburgh.
Hey, Greg. Welcome to the show.
I don't know if you remember me or not.
Refresh my memory.
I talked to you about numbers before at one time, about 666.
Gosh.
Now I'm seeing 333.
I can't lie to you, Greg. I don't remember you specifically because so many people call about numbers, but that doesn't matter because you're here now.
Yeah, I work in a convenience store, and lately, over the last month, I've been seeing 333 a lot.
Isn't that the sign of something enlightening? Somebody said that's like a Jesus number or something.
Oh, that's good.
That would be a good thing. Well, it's Christmas time. You should be seeing 333s.
Yeah.
Better than 666s.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And the other thing is, what the opening the song to When You Come on the Air, what is the name of that?
It's from a movie called The Midnight Express, and it's called The Chase.
The Chase.
You'll love it. Go get it.
Okay.
All right?
That's all I have to ask.
But the movie's old now. It's got to be. But it's a theme that has been a part of Coast to Coast, and it's not going to change. We'll always keep that. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Just want to talk about a couple near-death experiences that I had. First one was back in 98. I actually tried to take my life.
Oh, my God. Why'd you try that?
Well, I was fairly distraught about a breakup of a relationship.
Ah, never. Never over a woman.
I understand.
Aren't you glad you didn't succeed?
Yes, I am. Very much
My
so.
My God. Yeah. Just think of how many people you still need to affect in your life that need you.
Yeah. And God has a better plan for me anyway.
Yep.
I had this attempt, and I cut two vessels. I never hit any major organs or anything, but there's two vessels that I should have bled out before I got to the hospital. And the doctors told me that before I got there, for some reason, with no medical explanation, they were large enough. I should have just bled out. That they both collapsed and clotted, and that's what saved my life.
You had a guardian angel that was holding those things down.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
Yeah. So when I had that experience, when I was, you know, near death, I guess, I don't know where I was in the ambulance or in the hospital or what, but I had this intense feeling of just warmth and safety and love and things like that, and I interpreted that as just being in the presence of God. I felt no
judgment or anything, like I'd done something wrong. So when I came to, I had this incredible sense of everything was going to be okay. And the doctors, of course, were amazed that I was taking everything so well. And, you know, it was just one of those things. But
you sound great now.
I am.
Well, let me ask you a question. What would you say to someone who was contemplating doing themselves in? What would you tell them?
Oh, man. Please don't. You are a cherished being and loved by so many people. You know, tomorrow's another day, and it's always another chance to make things right. And it's just not worth it. You know, please don't, you know, talk to somebody that you know, reach out, anybody, please. You know, it's just not the way to go. I wouldn't want to anybody to go through what I've been going through.
Well, good for you. Did you ever see the movie It's a Wonderful Life?
Oh, sure. I do voices, and I like Jimmy Stewart quite a bit.
Do you do Jimmy Stewart?
Yes, I do.
All right. I'm not going to let you go without that. All right. Let's say something like, now, the angel's name was Clarence, wasn't it?
Yes.
So throw in a little Clarence. Do me a Jimmy Stewart with a Clarence thrown in there.
Well, what are you talking about, Clarence? Why can't they hear me? I don't understand.
And I do, listen to this, I do a Mr. Potter.
Oh, really?
Yes. So
sure.
Now you tell me that you want to come in for a $500 loan, and I'll do the Potter line when he did that. You remember that scene?
Oh, gosh, it's been so long.
All right, well, you come in and just say you need to borrow $500. Go ahead.
Okay. Mr. Potter, I was just wondering if I could borrow $500.
George, what do you have for collateral, George? You have no stocks, George. You have no bonds. You don't have nothing. You're coming to me for a measly $500, George. That's my Mr. Potter. Hey, you're good. Have a good Christmas, my friend.
Oh, I'd like to say one more thing.
Sure.
I also had another near-death experience in 2004 in November, never having had a...
Now, I hope this was a natural one, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay, good.
I don't do that other thing again. I wouldn't advise it. Anyway, never having had diabetes, I went into a diabetic coma for 10 days. And if you know anything about blood sugar, the normal is about 100. People tend to die at around 600 or 700 if it
Whoa.
Gets that high.
Yeah.
Well, I awoke 10 days later and knew something was wrong. My sister from Alaska was standing over me. She said, "Welcome back, brother." I was like, "Where'd I go?" So the doctor tells me I was admitted with a blood sugar count of 1,790.
Holy Toledo!
And I had an experience where I had three, like, very short visions. One was like a chessboard, but only on a diagonal. And it was all like a slate gray, three-dimensional. And around this board, there was fire. Around the sides and the bottom of it. And when I saw this, I felt like somebody was wringing me, you know, like a dish rag. And I was just tense. And then I went to clear blue sky, just blue sky. And it was like, oh, this is much better.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know what your purpose is yet, but I'm sure there's a grand plan for you here. Hey, have a good Christmas.
Thank you.
All right, you take care of yourself. My, the hour is gone already. The Full Moon Monday has come and gone. Next up, Matthew Alpert, the God part of the brain. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back.